Welcome to the Great Awakening Podcast, deconstructing wokeness one concept at a time. I'm your host, Josh Dawes. Today's episode is going to be really cool. I sit down with Kelly from A Time to Stand podcast. She is a mom from California who has just been doing phenomenal work researching and really exposing a lot of the woke curriculum that's being taught throughout the country and the organizations that are pushing this into schools, you know, all over the country. And it's a fascinating conversation. It's very eye-opening, and we try to get practical about some things that you can do to push back and be aware of what might be happening in your school. So it's a great conversation. I can't wait for you to hear it. But first, I am pleased to introduce you to our show's very first sponsor, and that is Gold River Trading Company. I'm sitting here enjoying a nice cup of black tea, and it's very good. I'm more of a coffee drinker, but I do enjoy a cup of tea from time to time, and this is among the best I've had. So they have a wide assortment of different flavors. The 1776 breakfast blend is really good, kind of wake you up in the morning. Tea. They have another, I think, gunpowder that is apricot flavored. So it's just a wide assortment. It's very good tea. But the thing I love the most about Gold River Company, the trading company, is that it is a company that shares our values. We talk a lot about woke corporations and, you know, not wanting to give money to people who hate what we value and hate, you know, have a, you know, completely different worldview. And so Gold River is founded by Christians. They are working to really provide an alternative and let the market fight back against this, so that you have a choice of where to, you know, spend your money. You can spend it with a woke beverage company, or you can, you know, spend it with a company that shares our values, and so and enjoy a great cup of tea in the process. So if you go to their website, goldriverco.com, you can save 10% off on your order by using the promo code Awokening. So definitely head over there, check it out. That's goldriverco.com. And support a company that is, fighting back against woke capital, and enjoy some great tea in the process. So, and with that, let's jump right into our conversation with Kelly. Hey, Kelly, thanks for joining us on the show.
Thanks so much for having me, Josh. Glad to be here.
Okay, so for people who may not be familiar with you, can you kind of tell us who you are and why, what got you concerned about this topic?
Yeah, absolutely. This journey is really 5.5 years now for me. It all started in October 2016. I was learning about some concerns that were going on in our children's school and essentially began researching in depth. And then one subject led to another, which led to another. And then we decided to pull the kids out of school. So we've been homeschooling since the fall of 2019. And after all that we've seen and learned in our journey, we decided to continue helping others learn about what's going on and taking calls from parents and also some really good teachers, just in order to help equip others. So last year started a podcast. It's still pretty new, and have had some opportunities to share with parents at a couple education events locally.
That's great. So what, how did this cross your radar? Like, what was the impetus for getting involved in helping people understand the indoctrination that's happening in our schools?
Well, it all started, I was going to pick up my kids at school, and I was talking with another parent who said to me, "Hey, are you aware of this new thing the principal does at the end of lunch recess where all the kids are seated there and he's donging on a bell?" And I said, "No." And we talked about this, and I said, "So they're taking away the last 10 minutes of the lunch recess, so the kids have to sit? And what's the deal with this bell?" And I was determined to find out, so I ended up meeting with the school principal, researching and reading articles late at night. And that was really the start of learning what social emotional learning was and educating the whole child. And that started this whole journey.
Okay, so social and emotional learning. That's, I've seen that, SEL for short.
Right.
That sounds on the surface to be kind of a nice thing. I want my kid to be well socialized. And I think most parents would assume that that's what that is. But it's more than that. Can you kind of unpack what all is encompassed in that term?
Oh, yeah, it is a loaded term. And there's multiple loaded terms nowadays. But you're right. When you hear about educating the whole child, calming techniques, giving kids tools for handling conflict, encouraging kindness, all of these things would, on the surface, sound really wonderful. There's a lot that I would say is marketed incredibly well, but it's a bait and switch where you think you're getting one thing, but you're getting far more than that. And social emotional learning itself, it does incorporate oftentimes various elements of the New Age, sometimes even practices of the New Age, but it doesn't stop there. There's a lot of content that is rooted in social justice ideas, anti-racism, diversity, equity, diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging. And then also, here's another acronym, SOGI, which stands for sexual orientation, gender identity. And so in the midst of social emotional learning, it can often come in stages where, kind of like that frog in the pot example where you put a frog in a pot of boiling water, it jumps out. But if you increase the heat slowly over time, it might stay in there and boil itself. With social emotional learning, it's actually designed to be incorporating also what's called transformative social emotional learning. And that is really rooted in civic engagement, activism, and particularly involving LGBTQ+, and that SOGI word, and also anti-racism, and these ideas that are rooted in the belief system that we have systemic racism, and that there's white privilege, and all of those kinds of things. So it's definitely a very big loaded agenda.
Yeah, so it's kind of a Trojan horse for all of these different critical theories, you know, race theory and gender theory, queer theory, to bring these in under the auspices of trying to help kids develop emotionally and socially. So what does that practically look like in the classroom? Like when a school starts to adopt some of these programs, what sort of things are the kids going to be experiencing?
Right. Well, and it's incorporated in so many ways that the typical parent, and even myself, I wouldn't have known until, you know, I started investigating in personal experience. So there's an app that our school used with our kids called Class Dojo. And I thought it was just completely a communications app. But there's another side of Class Dojo that teaches social emotional learning. And there's some videos that teachers have the option to show the students. Videos that are talking about taming the beast and a whole realm of both new age related concepts, but also other concepts. So that's one way. It just simply could be the teacher sharing a video that you didn't know about. There's a program that our children's school was considering called Mind Up, which is actually from the actress Goldie Hawn, believe it or not. And with that program, teachers go through training. They each have their own little Buddhist singing bowl, and the kids may meditate in the lotus position so many times a day in class. And then there's other teaching elements introduced with that. It might be on the child's school computer or tablet on an app that they play in computer lab. And for example, there might be content that the teacher uses in class called Brain Breaks in Go Noodle that may incorporate some of this. And then teachers may be taught through professional development training or through programs that schools purchase to essentially not just have social emotional learning be a part of the day, but be the lens through which all the classes are taught. And I'd say a really good example of some of the ideology that's slowly woven in and introduced to children from a young age in SEL is, for example, I did a public records request on a school district, an elementary school district in our county. And the slides were saying to, for example, shift the thinking from I to we, which is also rooted in a lot of other things we're seeing in education, shift away from the individual and start to embrace the collective. This is really important to pay attention to. And also, in the midst of that public records document, there was a tree, and within the tree, there were branches with labels. And one of the branches was talking about social justice and activism. So it's by design, it's rooted into the program itself. And then parents are believing that this is simply a great way to help their kids calm down and center themselves, is what they're often told.
Yeah, I mean, that's the stuff we struggle with as parents at home, you know? So it's like, oh, great, this program's going to help with that.
Right, yeah. And there's families that say, hey, take out this tool from your toolbox, or, you know, go and practice this meditation or do a breathing exercise. And, you know, for our family, when we were learning more and more about these programs, you know, our kids were being taught to empty their mind. But that goes directly against what we believe. We're a Christian family. And so we don't really, you know, we don't believe in emptying your mind. And so I think it's really important to understand not just where your family is faith-wise, but also ideologically. This is absolutely radical. It has radical roots and belief systems. And so when a program comes in, it's often not just in a curriculum or in one particular area, but it's being woven into everything.
Yeah. And that, I think that that social activism part is very concerning, just because it's not just about civic engagement. It's like, they're not teaching kids to, you know, pick your figure out what you believe and what policies you're concerned about, and go and advocate for those, or go and get involved in, you know, activities or campaigns or whatever. It's very much one-sided, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And any teacher or student that does not have the same beliefs that the school is promoting often feels quite outed. You know, they talk about diversity, equity, inclusion, belonging, but if you have conservative beliefs, you are not included. You are often the person, you know, that's feeling. I mean, I have so many teachers now that talk about this struggle with almost feeling like they have to hide their conservative beliefs because there's so much coming in. It's hard. Yeah. And students as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And we see that a lot with, I think we hear a lot about, you know, conservatives in woke corporations and just what it's like there. I think we also need to, you know, I think if we're not careful, we could make this this fight kind of appear to be like we're fighting teachers, but that's not the case. This is not all teachers. So there's a lot of teachers that find themselves in these schools where these programs are coming in, and they're just not sure what to do. Are there organizations, you know, associations that are helping teachers, or is that something that we still need to figure that out?
I really think that needs to be figured out more, because the more and more teachers that email me or message me and they share their experiences, they're often looking for others that might share similar beliefs as them for the purpose of encouragement. I know there's teachers that on their way to school, they're listening to a podcast for encouragement in the fact that what they're about to walk into is a really difficult environment. And there's so many good teachers, and not just teachers. We're talking about school counselors, school board members. And I think it's a real opportunity for more people to stand with these good teachers and stand next to them and speak for them and encourage them. Because yeah, you're absolutely right. There's a lot of wonderful teachers out there and they don't believe in this. And so,
Yeah, that's one of the pushbacks I get sometimes when I talk about this stuff is that, you know, why are you attacking teachers? And I'm like, no, I'm standing up for teachers that don't want this in their schools, that don't know what to do. And I think that's something where, you know, a old school parent teacher association might be able to kind of push back against some of this stuff because there are activist teachers out there that are bringing their politics to work. Paulo Freire taught that all education is inherently political, that you're either teaching the knowledge and the values of the dominant society that keeps people oppressed, so you're helping to perpetuate oppression, or you're teaching to awaken a critical consciousness so these students would understand and recognize how oppressed they've been, and ultimately to, you know, make them little social justice warriors. Is this just a problem in California where you're from, or is this something that, you know, I'm in Georgia and I think a lot of people think that this is just something out there, but we've got Christian teachers, we've got Christian administrators. We don't have to worry about
right.
this.
I think that is key for everybody to know that it's not just in California. I wish this wasn't spreading as swiftly as it is, as rapidly as it has, but it is. And we've seen content in Florida. I have teachers reaching out to me in red states, parents reaching out to me in these red states that are seeing this come in from their departments of education. I remember calling, I've been talking with some people and I would never think it was going on in some of these other states, but it absolutely is. Because if you can capture the education system, you can capture the nation. And that's exactly what's going on. You know, we've got not just social emotional learning and this comprehensive sexuality education and critical race theory being woven into the school classes in a variety of ways, but now we have this implementation of this whole school, whole community, whole child model, where the Center for Disease Control and this group called ASCD have joined together to bring community healthy schools nationwide. And that also will be rapidly introduced in various ways. So we have to be,
Wow. So what are, you mentioned the CDC, that's a big, that's a big organization. What other organizations are pushing this stuff that we need to, you know, be alert to, so that if we see that they're, you know, trying to bring some programs into our local schools, that we can kind of know that's a red flag. We need to stop this.
One of the ways, and there's so many organizations and new ones are being created because, hey, it's an opportunity for them to make money if they're going to be connecting with a school district and saying, hey, we have a curriculum for ethnic studies, or we have diversity, equity, and inclusion and belonging staff. We can do trainings. So even if they don't exist now, there's new groups that I've seen popping up, starting organizations. With regards to social emotional learning, CASEL is the acronym, CASEL, for the Collaborative of academic, social, and emotional learning. And when you look at a school district, you could look for social emotional learning. And then there may be a variety of programs. Some may be Mind Up, like I mentioned before. There's Go Zen, there's Harmony. There's a whole wide variety. And then there's other programs that bring assemblies for social emotional learning. There's the Tapping Solution. There's many. And ultimately, it's really important to just see what's being promoted in your area. And one of the best ways to do that is, are there teachers union representatives in your area? And what kinds of things are they advocating for? That's oftentimes what I encourage parents to do, is to become familiar with who's in the teachers union and what kinds of things are they promoting. Look at not just your school district, but look at your county office of education's website. Maybe look at their Twitter account. Maybe look at your state department of education and look at their Twitter account. See what they're posting on Instagram. Because there's places that people may not think to look, and you'd be surprised what you can find there.
That's one of the things that's been so kind of just shocking about this current, you know, craziness that we're living through, is just how much of it is just put out there. You know, you scroll through libs of TikTok and it's like, I can't believe they're just saying it out loud. And so it requires a bit of digging, but you'll be surprised at what you can find just up there on these, the websites, if you just do a little bit of digging. And you've been doing a great job of finding stuff and bringing it to light. And I appreciate what you're doing there.
And I would say too, it's helpful to understand there's a lot coming from Google and Silicon Valley, and not only those programs, but then if you go think of the comprehensive sexuality education, there's a variety of content being brought in, either formally or supplementally. And I think that's key for parents. Teachers can easily print something out, supplemental curriculum. For example, teacherspayteachers.com or learningforjustice.org, which is curricular materials produced by the Southern Poverty Law Center. There's also content that teachers can print out from, it's a GLSEN, G-L-S-E-N, which is teaching LGBTQ+ material. There's an organization called Amaze that teachers can show these videos that are graphic sexuality education content.
Right. I've seen some of those.
And yeah. It is vast as far as all of that. And then with regards to ethnic studies, there's a group here in the state of California that just launched their national effort in February of this year, and they're called the Liberated Ethnic Studies Model Curriculum Coalition. So that is trying to really capture the nation as well. And I think it is imperative, just as in the same way that we would probably want to have an awareness if our kids are going to somebody's house and spending a lot of time there on a repeated basis, we'd probably want to talk with the adults that are at the home and just kind of get to know them. And we really can't let our guard down in this time with the education system and what's being poured into our children at school and what they're being introduced to, because the idea that children were really valued and regarded, and they weren't really, there was this understandable boundary about children, that's really been removed.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing that, it is our duty as parents to protect our kids, even if that means we're being called names, yeah, right?
As I,
right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's tough. We've been so accustomed to wanting to be respectable, and obviously, are sensitive about things in our nation's past that, you know, we don't have a good history with, and so it's almost. You know, I've got a friend, Joe Rigney, who talks about how talks about the sin of empathy, that empathy is being it's a way of blackmailing, you know, kind of emotional blackmail, the idea that, you know, it can be used to just get you to acquiesce to whatever's being demanded of you just by appealing to your empathy. And I see that a lot in a lot of the dynamics of what are happening here. It's like, you know, wouldn't it be a nice idea to, you know, remove the gendered terminology from our school programs? Just, you know, we want to think about other families. And so it makes that appeal to our, you know, our sense of kindness, but it's really slipping in these other, you know, it's kind of opening the door to gender ideology.
Well, it absolutely is. Yes. Because it is this, ideology that it begins with a little compromise here and then a little compromise there. I remember in the spring of 2019, I sat at a parent teacher association meeting at our then public school for our children, and they were sharing that a letter was written by the state PTA advising that all future events be gender neutral. And I just recall pretty much everybody embraced this idea, and together they decided that that's what they were going to do. But that has completely eliminated, you know, the father-daughter dances. And they used to have these really fun mom-son events that were neat. And if there was a situation where there was a parent in the military away or something else, I mean, it wasn't ever a situation where those kids were not able to be included or anything, or bring somebody else. It was a really fun event. And I remember the father-daughter dance when I was a kid. That was a really special memory that I'll never forget. And so it really begins one place and then it takes off. I mean, they're really starting to even challenge Mother's Day.
Yeah, it's crazy. Talking to you, I just feel overwhelmed. Like, there's just, it seems to be coming from so many different directions and different. It's not like just look out for this one organization and you'll be fine. There's so many different, you know, attack vectors where this is coming from. What do we do? What does victory look like? How do we stem the tide?
I think it's a multi-pronged response. I think it's helpful to understand what's just happening in your school and your community. While it's good to also really be aware of some of these other matters happening at the state or at the county, understanding what's happening in your school, you can only start in one place. And that's where I started. I started with our local school district. And then I started talking with other parents. Hey, did you hear that there's this new thing going on? Or are you aware of this new law? I'm just learning about this. And just having nice conversations with people, curious what they know, discussing it. In regards to what we do, I do think legislation, if there's legislation that can be enacted, that's helpful. But the truth is that if, for example, one state outlaws something, if somebody is elected and replaces some of the people in charge, those laws can then change back, unfortunately. So I do think we're at a place where I think a lot of parents are starting to question whether they keep their kids in a public school or not. I know for our family, we decided to homeschool, and I was really against the idea, to be honest, because I had no idea what it was. But it's turned out to be a wonderful blessing for our family. And I would say that also connecting with other people in your community, I think there's multiple ways really, but I think really preparing, especially for parents, preparing your kids for what's happening and equipping and strengthening them is also really important, because every generation has to face difficulties and struggles, and we can look back on previous generations that have experienced hardship. And what do you cling to? Where is your strength? And what are you founded upon? What is really for your family? Having those opportunities, like you said, you were talking about empathy earlier. Are your children bold and courageous? Are they willing to have those opportunities where they stand up courageously? And for example, one of the things that I've talked with parents about, kids are taught from a young age to really be obedient. Listen to your parents, be obedient, listen to your coaches, follow through, do what your teachers tell you. But there is a teaching principle in when to not abide by something that I do think is valuable. And right now, when we were sending our kids still to public school, that was a valuable lesson to be able to tell the kids, if there's something that you know that's happening and you're being taught this, you have our permission to tell the teacher that you're going to walk to the principal's office and you're willing to step out of class if you feel that something's not right.
Yeah.
So, but I do think, yeah,
that's good.
It's a time for boldness and courage and for people to understand these things that we face so that they can understand how to respond. I mean, there's so many people that I've talked with. And when I started this, I had very little knowledge, admittedly, about even Karl Marx. And very little knowledge about Paulo Freire and all of these critical theories and critical pedagogy. If you had asked me 6 years ago, what's critical pedagogy? I would have said, I have no idea. And what's pedagogy? I wouldn't have known. And I think there's certain things that we have really ingrained into our minds. We can say, most of us, I think all of us, the Pledge of Allegiance. There's many things that we know, but are we aware of these other issues so that we're equipped so that we can then respond? And then what is our foundation rooted in? I think that's all really important.
That's good. Yeah, I love what you said about it. It's a time for boldness. I think that is true. And I think a lot of times our fears are unfounded. I think that we're afraid to speak up because someone might call us a name, and then that's going to cause a ripple effect that it ends up with us losing our job and homeless. And I wish we had just stayed quiet. And I think what I've found is I've become more bold and speaking up is that courage is contagious. It helps others to stand up. And the more of us that are standing up and pushing back and saying, no, I don't agree with this. I don't think this is right. I think that's going to be, at the very least, a catalyst for the change that needs to happen to have some sort of reformation in our school systems, in our education system. So I appreciate you talking about that. I tell people that the number one thing that I learned from my dad was how to stand alone. And because I saw him do it as a pastor, I saw him have to make some tough decisions that the people in his church were not supportive of. And it cost him at times. But, I saw that and I admire that. And, especially if we're going to be sending our kids into, public school or private school, private schools are not immune to this. It's showing up everywhere. Yeah, our kids need to see us taking stands and being brave and bold and not just following along with everything.
That's actually the name of my podcast is A Time to Stand, because it absolutely is. When I was growing up, I was incredibly shy. Public speaking, even speaking to other people, made me nervous. And I remember at church, I was the one that would hide behind my mom's leg when I was little, so I didn't even have to have a conversation. And everything in me, just to speak even at public comment or to give a presentation, obviously I've thankfully You do things and you step out of your comfort zone because you're compelled to do what is right because it's important. And we have to have that courage, all of us. I know there's people who are afraid of being fired. There's church leaders that are worried that a lot of people would leave their church. And it goes back to whom do you place your trust in? And if that's where your trust is, and you're going forward, and you're being courageous, and you're speaking the truth boldly in love, I think that, you know, whatever happens as a result of it, I'm one that believes God is sovereign. And I also put my trust and my faith in him. And so with regards to anything that may occur, I just trust him. It's up to him. And, you know, there's people, especially, yeah, you know, I think that's important. But for the protection of our kids, I know I've had people say, well, I'm so glad that my kids are grown, so I don't have to face this. But this, I'd say back, these are grandkids. This is the future of our country. And so even though somebody might have kids whose children are grown, well, there's still an opportunity to get involved. You're a taxpayer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And that's, you know, we homeschool as well. And it's like, you sometimes feel asked, well, why do you care so much about public school? Because I care about what's happening in our community. I care about, you know, the next generation. And yeah, that's super important. So as you know, I know there's going to be people that have watched, you know, that watch this or listen to this, and they see it, they're, you know, alarmed, they're, you know, they want to do something. How do we talk to our friends who maybe don't see don't know what the big deal is, that think it's not a problem, or just aren't even, you know, aware of it at all?
I think lovingly be a really good listener, ask questions, be curious. And what I mean by that is, hey, have you heard about some of these new things happening in education? What are your thoughts on that? One of the things that I think is really effective, especially, is one, we don't want to overwhelm people. There's so much information out there. I mean, if I sat down with somebody and I told them everything I know that I've learned in the last 5.5 years, it would be like blasting a fire hose on someone. It would be too much. So I think it's important to share little bits of information. It's really helpful if somebody has questions back to be able to have evidence to provide to them to look further into. Hey, did you learn about this new sex education thing? I'm just learning a little bit about that. Not sure if we have any laws establishing it, but I've been trying to kind of look into that. And, you know, here's an article I read, or, you know, just taking one topic to really discuss. Sometimes it's great to sit down over coffee. You could even just casual discussion at a grocery store. I mean, you can talk with people anywhere and have a nice conversation. But I think it's important to really understand the person you're talking to and, you know, how are they receiving it? So I think it's really important to read the people you're talking with.
My wife and I talk about laying breadcrumbs, because I think people are more persuaded when they kind of get there on their own. So if you can ask some kind of leading questions just to help people think about, you know, and also where, just to be thinking about, like, where's your line when, what would it have to happen where this would become concerning? If you can kind of help people to mark that stuff, mark those things out ahead of time and think through this stuff ahead of time, it I think once that kind of is a counter to the frog in boiling water. It's not, you know, you don't wake up and find yourself, you know, boiled. You like, oh hey, I already talked about this line and now here we are. Like, maybe we should rethink and start taking this more seriously. I think that's that seems to be a good approach as well.
Right. I think that's important. I like the breadcrumbs example a lot.
So for those of us, you know, I know some of our audience has been following this stuff and they are, you know, in tune with everything we're saying. What is on the horizon that you think parents should really pay attention to that you're really concerned about that might be new?
The greatest new concern that I have is this combination of combining health and education through this whole school, whole community, whole child model, where they develop these community or healthy schools. And the design of these is to essentially have health or wellness clinics on the school campus, dental on the school campus, counselors or psychology offices on the school campus, and the school and the education system becomes the nucleus of the community. And it really branches out into the community. So it's not just involving education, but it's shaping the community. And I think that's a very new concern that's right now in our midst. And elements of this model are already being embraced slowly in other states. We're seeing it really ramp up, obviously, here in California, no surprise. But it is already being seen in a variety of ways. So parents would, or, you know, the community looking into this would research WSCC for WISC. And they can see this on the Center for Disease Control website. So.
Okay.
Yeah, that's big news.
All right. Well, it's been a great conversation. I think if anything, you know, as Christians, Christian parents, it's kind of a wake up call to take our job as parents seriously, to not just outsource it to you know, the experts at, you know, either public school, private school, you know, homeschool co-op, anything where we're not, you know, keeping tabs and understanding the influences that are in our kids' lives. You know, it's a good wake up call to be vigilant, to take our the command in Ephesians to, you know, train them up in nurture and discipline of the Lord. And I appreciate the work that you're doing to help parents just understand better what's happening and what they can do about it. So thanks for joining us. Where can people find you?
I'm at www.atimetostand.me, and I'm on Twitter at Kelly SKE, and I hope to be producing some more podcasts that are really helpful. Next month, I'll be releasing a podcast interview with a woman who has expertise going to the United Nations and how the United Nations has really filtered down to our school system. So that's going to be a good one. But I also hope to help answer the number one question parents often ask me is, how do I find out what's happening in my child's school? So this was an important discussion. And I hope more parents have that courage, because you're right, courage is courageous or contagious.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Kelly. It's been a delight talking to you, and we wish you all the best.
Thanks, Josh. Have a good day.
That's our show for today. Thanks for watching. Be sure to hit like and subscribe to the channel. We have a lot of cool guests coming up that you're not going to want to miss. So go ahead and hit that notification button so that you're not missing any of those episodes as they drop. This is also an audio podcast. You can subscribe at Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. Until next time, fight the good fight.